be upstanding. Give him a...
Am I right down here? That means I can leap at you. Halfway through, if I want to attack, I just attack. It's been great to be here. It's been significant. Quick advertisement. Who has not, and I can't believe that you haven't, who has not yet obtained 43 years? You need to get it. I just tell a story of 43 years seeking God, prayer, miracles, how we broke into ministry, mistakes, and I try to encapsulate the first 40 years of ministry. So I put it down as a power of vision, first 40. I'm on the second 40 at the moment. I'm 3 years into the second 40. The essential reading is Amazing Animal Alphabet. Your grandparent, you have to have one. It will make you laugh your head off while the kids look for pigs and animals. They're out there, and I don't want to take them home. Carting stuff home, is it? It's the main reason to sell them. Just don't want to carry them home. You will be blessed. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, linesmen. Thank you, ball boys. We live in a troubled world. We live in a troubled world. To a great degree, the Christian church sticks its head in the sand. I've just come from California, and I'm really pushing into California. We're having massive miracles over there. It's been quite extraordinary. And doors are opening up big time in California. And while I was there, there was talk at government level of banning the sale of the Bible in California as a hate book. It's only a matter of time until the Bible will be a banned book if things continue. To a great degree, the church around the Western world is now being seen as irrelevant, insignificant. In fact, one of the greatest enemies of the new progressive wave of life. And I want to challenge you this morning. I don't just want to whistle Dixie this morning. I want to put a challenge to you as to where we're at, because we can underestimate the last 5 years. Things, I think, globally have moved at a rate I've never seen before in my life. In Australia, we've just had all the gender stuff going on, and that's that a tiny percentage of the population have the voice, and the church doesn't have the voice. Well, it does, but it doesn't. It does if it uses it. It doesn't if it doesn't. Father, I'm going to ask the Lord to really help us today, because this message is not a negative message. I want to share some history with you and a few things and about just where we're at, and then put the challenge, because in tough times, God always has his strategic people. And I'm going to tell you something. In this hour, I'm one of them. Don's one of them. Are you one of them? Who's one of them? One person. One person. Two, three, four people. Well, if that's the case in the church, Islam will run over us like a truck. The church doesn't rise up, the Western world, you get swallowed. You say, well, you know, we got to be talking positive. My observation... this is not preaching yet, this is just warming up. My observation of the Western church is that we are sucked into, to a great degree, the Western church is caught up in cultural Marxism, which I'll talk to you about, and has become an incredibly compromising outfit. Incredibly compromising. But God is on the throne, and we are on the edge of a generation rising up with a strength and authority unlike anything that's been seen before. God, it may seem quiet right now, but Samson's hair is growing. Samson's hair is growing. There is a bubbling under the surface, and there's going to be a rising up of a generation of Christians with steel in their spirit. Father, would you anoint your word this morning? Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said, amen. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm reading from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Father, just take control, I pray. The Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, that word in the Greek is peripateo, which means just walk around in the flesh. How many are living in a body? It's a weird thing. We can't get out of this thing. We live in it. We live in it. Everyone lives in a body. Do you ever think, I wonder what it would be like to live in someone else's head for a while? I wonder what it would be like to live in Don's head for a day. No, no. And you may ask the question after seeing the amazing animal alphabet, which is on sale out the front desk. After reading that, you go, I don't want to be in that head for a while. I get around myself, and I'm not even sure I like being in my own head at times. But we walk in the flesh. No, we walk in the flesh, the Bible says. Apostle Paul was being challenged, actually, as the fact that he was pretty ordinary. The Corinthian church were really not too complimentary. They said, oh, look at you. But he began to outline who he was. But he says, though we walk in the flesh, don't mess with us because we don't war after the flesh. Don't mess with me. I don't war after the flesh. The word war is stratomeo, which is our military campaign is not natural. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Our military campaign is not natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are divinely powerful. The word there, dunatos, same from the root dunamis, which is divine, supernaturally enabled. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but divinely and mightily enabled for the pulling down of strongholds. The word pulling down is a word that literally, if you take it to the full in the Greek, it is demolishing to extinction. Weapons of our warfare, not natural, but divinely powerful through God. Someone say through God. To the utter demolition to extinction of strongholds. What is a stronghold? Word for stronghold here is a fortification. Strongholds are built for two purposes. Strongholds are built to keep people in. They call them a prison. And strongholds are built to keep people out. A castle. A fort. Strongholds are built to keep someone locked in or to keep something from getting in. The Bible says we are, our weapons are mighty to the utter demolition of strongholds. And then it says we're pulling down or demolishing thoughts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the demolition of fortresses. We are pulling down, literally from the word logismos, thoughts, ideas, concepts, imaginations, casting down imaginations, reasonings, human logic, human ideology, antichrist, ideology, concepts, demolishing them to extinction. The demolition, just casting down imaginations and every high elevated concept and thought that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. Evolution. one of the most stupid concepts. You say today you believe that in evolution, the Bible says, basically, the fool believes that. No, it did not. From a creator. From a creator. I like you. He just got excited and said, I believe that God created. So we have all these concepts going in our society. Right now, we live in a society of utter mind control. Absolute. We are in a generation whose mind has been manipulated unlike anything in history. The media literally has taken a generation and they're puppets on strings. They know more about the Kardashians than any history. Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the demolition of fortresses. We are destroying speculations, reasonings, and every lofty thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. And we are taking captive every one of these thoughts. How do we take captive all these ideologies and thoughts unto the obedience of Christ? How do we do it? Well, let's go back for a moment to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And the Bible says there in Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Speaks there of the Kratos, the dominion of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is the word methodius. It speaks of mind games. The very name, the devil, diabolus, comes from a word which means to throw. Bellow, I throw. And the understanding from the ancient Greek is that Satan's name is the one who throws a net, a fisherman who throws a net to catch men. He is the net thrower. He throws a net to capture his prey using his methods and his mind games. Not now, bro. I'm just preaching now. It's good. I'm glad you got thoughts, but I'm going to keep going. Can't have everybody preaching, but he's a good man. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. Treat him well. Treat him well, fellas, but just let me preach, that's all. Don't pick on him. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. Look after him. Let's look at mind games in my lifetime. I was born in 1948, which was 3 years after the Second World War. I have actually lived in 8 decades. 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. And 2010s, that's eight decades. That makes me old. No, I'm not, I'm young. But I've seen so many changes. I used to say my mum died at 99 years and 10 months, and she saw so many changes. My dad talked about the first aeroplane, seeing the first aeroplane fly over in Bendigo, just a primitive thing, right back. He'd be 100 and I don't know what now. My dad born back in 1906, so he'd be 112 now. And he talked about changes. I remember when I just loved steam trains. When diesels came in, I felt sick. The real trains were gone. But I was brought up in the 50s and the 60s, particularly the 60s. In the 60s, I was in the School of Art, studying in the late 60s. I missed going to Vietnam by 1 day. I missed the call-up by 1 day. Otherwise, I would have done a tour of Vietnam. And I was going through the School of Art. And everything was going on in the 60s. Kennedy was shot dead. JFK had been shot dead. I still remember the day of hearing that. And then Martin Luther King was shot. America was in total upheaval. The Vietnam War was raging. Young Americans were rising up in protest, body bags coming back, and it seemed like the whole circumstance of the, particularly the 60s, had been prepared for a revolution unlike anything. The Beatles sang Revolution. Bands were singing about, I think it was The Who, talking about my generation. My generation, baby. And all the rest. It was a new time. But things began to change in the 50s. Let me show you some pictures really quickly. Let's have a look at the first one here. We'll talk about some change. Mighty to the demolition of fortresses. I missed this, but I kept thinking that the weapons of our warfare are mighty, like these great steel balls that were thrust into walls and brought buildings crashing down. And that's the power of our weapons to break through these brick-by-brick strongholds that are built. Next one. In the 50s, how many can remember back far enough to remember a satellite called Sputnik? Sputnik was sent up by the Russians, and the Americans became terrified. They believed absolutely and probably rightfully so that Star Wars and that the great Cold War that was raging after World War II, the Cold War set in with Russia and America. There were the constant threats of nuclear war and so on. And there was a race to see who would control the whole satellite thing, and Russia were in front. The next one, they sent up a spaceman. First man in space was a man called Yuri Gagarin. He didn't bend spoons. He was the first man to go into space. And when these guys went into space, the American space program panicked. And they said, our problem in America is that we are behind Russia in an understanding of science. We have to upgrade science in our schools and get up there with the Russians or surpass them if we're going to win the space war. So let's have a look at the next picture. And so they invested vast amounts of money. In fact, in 1959, President Eisenhower asked Congress for $1 billion for the Department of Health and Education for a book to go into all the classrooms entitled Scientists in the Classroom. And for the first time, books went through all of the schools pushing evolution. And people who, for years, had no doubt that man was too incredibly made and this world too incredibly made, that God had created it, all of a sudden, people became too smart, and it was written to celebrate Darwin's 100 years, and after that, evolution spread like a fire. And today, if you go into a university and tell people there that you're a creationist, they'll laugh you to scorn. Brainwashed generation. The mind seized. Things began to stir from that point. Let's have a look at the next one. Here was a lady who was called the most hated woman in America. Her name was Madeline Murray O'Hare, who single-handedly through the court system had prayer put out of the American schools. Virtually on her own. Head of the Atheist Society. And here was her message. We find the Bible to be nauseating, historically inaccurate, replete with the ravings of madmen. We find God to be sadistic, brutal, and a representative of hatred. She set out to break down and succeeded. The power of one person, one godless person. She was interviewed on Donahue, and someone stood up and said, if you do this, don't you think you're going to come to a very bad end? She said, no, I'll just die of old age and be in the ground. Well, they actually found her murdered and those around her and dismembered in pieces on a ranch in Texas. Western civilization now began to change dramatically. 1923, Frankfurt, Germany. A group of Marxists after the First World War made the statement, they said, we cannot, with economics, Marxism cannot enter the world through economics, because everybody after the First World was rebuilding. It was about finance. It was finance was such a big thing. They said, we cannot have our revolution that we want, the deconstruction of Western foundations, including particularly Christianity, by the way of economics. So we have to have another idea. So in 1923, they gathered together major Marxists from around the world, and they established a thing called the School of Cultural Science. And at the School of Cultural Science, they formulated a plan for the total deconstruction of every Western value and the deconstruction and destruction, really, of Christianity, of Judeo-Christianity as the base. And they came up with a plan, and they said, instead of the proletariat being the workers, the proletariat will now be the minority groups. And they started with the feminists. And they said, these are the repressed victims. Women are the repressed victims. Then, of course, the homosexual thing, the repressed victims. And they made the heroes of the minority groups, and the average man or woman out there making a living, bringing up their family, become the enemy of these groups. And they set out to rule society through small groups, minority groups. The gay agenda, the voice today, represents 2% of our population, but dominates the thinking, controls much of our thinking in Australia now. And so we have a rise of this cultural Marxism. Hitler, of course, rose to power, and communists left. They had to leave. And most of these guys were Jewish communists. And they headed to America, and they were embraced by the Columbia University in the USA. They were anti-Nazi, but they came in with a more deadly plan, I think, even than Nazism. And they began to share it, and the universities began to embrace it. And their teaching, their cultural Marxism, where they took a mixture of Marx and Freud. They said, Marxism, as it's been presented, is too impersonal. We have to make this personal, about our feelings, about who we are, about our needs, about our rights, and we'll move that together, and we'll use this whole thing in a different way, and we'll set up cultural Marxism, and we will bring down the foundations of the Western world. Well, it spread. It spread right through the universities, right across into California, and it was embraced, and it spread through the lecturers, and they began to teach it. In Vietnam, they were fighting communism. In the universities, they were pushing it. Out there standing against it, standing against Russia and Russian communism, at the same time, the universities propagating cultural Marxism as the new way. Fighting it, and yet on the inside, insidiously being eaten by it. Then certain things happened that absolutely changed everything. In California, the CIA were experimenting now with mind control, MX Ultra mind control. It was pretty, I'm not going to go into all that, but all sorts of people were being used in it. And they came up with a drug that they began to use in that area of mind manipulation. It was lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD. And a few of the guys working with it got a taste and liked it, and it spread into society. It spread through California like a plague. People don't realize that, up in the New York State at Woodstock, just about everybody was acid, was flowing like water, probably more acid than water. At Monterey Festival, I believe there were 100,000 acid trips dropped from a plane in Christmas cards or something in one of the rock festivals, and they opened up, and there was a little bit to go on the tongue, and hundreds of thousands of people were tripping at the same time. The music groups embraced it, and all of a sudden you had a change in thinking. People were smoking peyote and magic mushrooms and enlarging their mind, and in it all they were stepping into dimensions, because the Bible talks of sorcery, and in the Greek word for sorcery, pharmakeia, is witchcraft induced by drugs. And they were entering into a different realm where Christianity was the old, this was the new adventure into a whole new realm, and the youth of America embraced it. And LSD spread, and drugs spread. And then in 1967, in San Francisco was the Summer of Love. And the hippies invaded it, and LSD invaded it, the Summer of Love. And they had to have a voice. And they chose a voice, and the voice stood out among all others. How many have heard the term, make love not war? And the peace symbol, which is an inverted cross broken. The voice became that of a man called Herbert Marcuse. Who was he? He was one of the key founders of the whole thing of cultural Marxism in 1923 in Frankfurt. He was the one that came up and he put out a book called Eros and Civilization, in which he said the major problem with the world is the repression of sexual drive is the thing that causes wars. If you allow people to have free sex of any sort they want, then wars will cease, because it is the tension of not being liberated, and Christianity binds it and Judaism bind it, but we are a new generation, and the hippie generation embraced a concept of free love. Make love, not war. There'll be no war if we make love. John Lennon became one of the biggest voices of it later. He took a 1,000 acid trips, and according to his manager, was more antichrist than anyone he'd known. The Beatles, they said, were totally antichrist. I love their music. Still don't mind listening to it now and again, but they were antichrist to the core. And they embraced so much of it. Summer of Love, the hippies, the acid. Herbert Marcuse was the voice of the hippie movement, and he was propagating. Timothy Leary was pushing acid across the place, and the whole generation in America of youth turned. Music became the evangelistic tool, changing the mind, bringing a concept of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And all of a sudden, free sex was the big thing. With the pill, everybody was living it up. It didn't matter. So many partners, sleeping wherever, whatever. Cultural Marxism was now spreading. Christianity was seen as obsolete and antiquated. Apart from the Jesus Revolution, there was a turning away from the church and a sense in young people that it was no longer necessary. John Lennon said Christianity will go. He said, I'll be proved right. We are right now, he said, at one stage more popular than Jesus. In fact, it is recorded and it's alleged that John came down after one of the recordings and said, I am Jesus Christ, let's have a news conference. And they said, John, this will finish us. We're not going there. Today, the spirit has spread across society and it's continued on. It's under another name now, but the name is political correctness. Political correctness is geared to take away free speech. It's geared, we're talking, this thing is speak. The society we're in now is geared towards taking away our right to speak. We can't speak out. Well, we can if we choose to. But society frowns on us speaking about a woman's rights in abortion, about a baby's rights. More children have been aborted in America in the last whatever years than all the soldiers killed in the First War, the Second War, the War of the Civil War, the War of Independence, Vietnam and Korea, and the wars they're fighting now combined. There's a cry of the innocents. How long does the eternal God of the universe listen to the cries of innocent babies being chopped up in the womb? In Australia, you can't kill a tiger snake because they're protected, but you can take a baby from the womb. You kill a snake in the backyard, you can be in a lot of trouble. You've got to get a snake catcher and treat them with a lot of respect and love. That is the treatment for a tiger snake in the backyard. Quick. And so we have a society right now that is declaring that the Bible's no longer relative, The church is no longer relative. It doesn't really mean much. We have the church trying to stay relative. Our guys are challenged often on television on some of the key subjects and often skirt round the subject because they know if they go straight to the point and say, my Bible says, it'll all work against them. There's a juggling now in the body of Christ of the Word of God and political correctness balanced so that the council doesn't turn off us and stop us having property, so that we stay in right with, we've got to keep walking. And yet political correctness creeps faster and faster to swallow up. What's the answer? I pray much about this. Much about it. Because as I've traveled, I've watched it happening so quickly. So quickly. What's the answer? God keeps bringing me back to this scripture. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are exceedingly powerful through God to the utter demolition of every stronghold out of hell that the devil wants to build into the minds of a generation and to bring them crashing down to extinction. What is the requirement for the church to rear up and stand again in the greatness of her glory, which is what we're going to do? Paul at Ephesus, and I better keep moving, time's getting away. But Paul at Ephesus took 12 men, in a schoolroom of Tyrannus, trained them for 2 years. And they went into one of the most occultic, anti-God, with all the gods from Diana to God of healing, I'm trying to remember his name, and every one of the gods, including into the face of emperor worship, and went in, and in 2 years, every person in the West Coast province of Asia Minor heard the gospel, and great churches exploded in the midst of that environment. What was the key? I believe the greatest key for the church right now, in a society that is being so mentally fragmented, a society that becomes so brittle, that don't even know absolutes anymore, can decide whether they're a male or a female. I always thought that was pretty easy to work out. Where you can choose what bathroom to go to or what shower block, depending whether you feel that day you're male or female. What a nonsense. What nonsense. What nonsense. A society right now with no absolutes that decide. I watched a guy interviewed. I got to move on. A guy interviewing a lady in a university, and he said, how would you feel if I said to you, a manly looking guy, that I'm a woman? She said, yes, I'm fine with that if you feel like you're a woman. He said, what about if I tell you I'm a Chinese woman? She said, well, if you feel that you are a Chinese woman, that's fine with me. He said, well, I'm actually a 6'5" Chinese woman. And she looked and she said, well, if you feel that you are a 6'5" Chinese woman, you can be that. No, go and stand against the wall, I'll measure you. You're 5'10". You're not Chinese, you're Caucasian. And if you were to remove your clothes right now, I go, I think you're a man. Absolutes. You know the quickest thing to bring absolutes is a mighty manifestation of power. What's the quickest thing to make someone aware there's a God? A mighty demonstration of power. I wrote some things down. What do we need today to stand and bring a certainty of relevance? It's coming. Listen, the church is rising. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm a great believer that seasons like this bring men and women to the surface who are elite. I love what Alexander the Great said. He said, "I fear an army of sheep led by one lion more than an army of lions led by a sheep." God's just looking for some people who will stand up and say, "I am piercing through this stuff in power. This is my day to stand up in a dimension of the Holy Ghost." I took 3 months off just recently. I went up the bush every day for 5-6 hours. Praying, "God, I want to go from just having good meetings." I used to mess around a lot when I preached. I feel the urgency too much. And I felt the Lord say, "Are you willing to let me really take hold of you? Are you willing to let me build something into you greater than you've known before?" I felt him saying, "Tim, I'm looking for people that are going to carry the undiluted power of God." Apostle Paul said, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he said, "I have fully preached the gospel with signs, wonders, and miracles, 1,400 miles. In fact, it's said that Paul, in his missionary travels, went 10,000 miles, mainly on foot, carrying the mighty, undiluted power and presence of God. See, what God is looking for right now is lions to stand up. There are lions through all the congregations, and there are lions leading. But he's talking to us about a roar coming out of the church, not a muffled voice, not a uncertain sound, but a clear, dynamic trumpet blast from unafraid voices. Voices that love not their life, even unto the death. Voices that are prepared to do prison time. Voices that are prepared to do whatever it takes. Because the church is not going to slide into oblivion. But the church is the church. It's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And something happens in the body of Christ that when things look bleak, lions stand. And God is looking for lions. I'm going to tell you once. We've got time for one story, Pastor Don. In Australia, there's an island up off the top of Australia called Elko Island. Elko Island was a place. It was basically all Aboriginal people up on Elko Island, and it was Elko by name and Elko by activity. It was ruled by Grog. Families were suffering. The thing was a disaster. It was a disaster. And the elders rose up. And the elders got together and they said, "We're finished if we don't do something." And they said, "We have to turn to God in a big way here." Christian Foundation. And they said, "Let's get together and pray and fast and seek the face of God until something happens that will break through." And they went down into a field of bamboos. And they cleared a space down there and they got into prayer. And Aboriginal people know how to wait on God. I have friends out there that carry some of the greatest anointings that I've ever seen. And they waited out there and they prayed and they sought God until finally people looked down and the bamboos had caught fire. And they rushed down to put it out. When they got there, it was a supernatural fire. And the elders walked out and their faces were shining and they said, we must repent. And as they walked out, the power of God gripped their community. And they stepped into a community that was a compromising, ungodly situation. And in a matter of minutes, the fire of God blazed through there with such force that the entire community turned to Christ. In amongst them was a group of young people, about 20 of them, young Aboriginal men and women. And they pulled their shoulders back, full of the Holy Ghost, eyes blazing with His presence. And they said, we're going to take the anointing all over Australia. And the first place they went was down with the Warburton people, who are serious and ruled over by the eldership. The elders, the elder tribesmen in Australia, rule with an iron fist. When they come to town, they come with their spears on the car, on their cars, they shut the roads, and they get down to serious business. And punishment for people that have stepped out of line is a spear through your leg. And if it's serious crimes, they'll put a number of spears through your legs and drop you off in the bush. The only way to get them out is break them off and push them through, because the hook holds them in. And they came with their spears. And there was a revival breaking out, and they came to stop it. And these young people were moving in God. The power of God was on them, and the elders came to stop it. And they called a big meeting, and they said, you young guys, you've got to stop this now. We've had this before. Then everybody went back again. It was worse. Stop now, or we will kill you. And they looked at them, and they drew a line in the sand. The spear. And they said, any of you that are made up your mind that you're going to keep preaching, step over this line and we'll kill you here. Some of them walked away, but others pulled their shoulders back, lift up their head and crossed the line in the sand. When they crossed, they knew what they were stepping into. And one of the young men said to the elders, we know you're going to kill us right now. Before you do, would you let us speak before you kill us? I said, okay. The young man began to preach, and as he preached, the lion began to roar. And as the lion within him began to roar, the power of God came down like a fire, and people began to weep. Elders dropped on their knees, and they said, you can continue. And revival broke out in Warburton. They then travelled through Western Australia, down through Western Australia. They would sit in a church and the wind of God would come through and the whole congregations were going out under the power of God, and they went through leading congregation after congregation to Christ. But you see, we're in a critical time, but there's never been a time to be born like this time. Never. It's the most challenging time to ever be a Christian. But challenging times are the times when it's real. And right now, have I got a couple of minutes, Don? Have I got a few minutes, 5 minutes? Is that okay? You sure? Yes? 5 minutes. Okay. Because sometimes God is wanting to do something, and He does want to do something right now. And I'm not going to prolong it. But I want to do something here. See that spear that I'm not holding? I'm not holding it. Well, I am. I'm not, but I am. I'm drawing a line in the sand. Right across here. Right across the front here. See it down there in the sand? And I want every person that says, I'm rising as a lion. I'm rearing up in the power of God with prayer, fasting, and pressing into God like never before. If that's you, I want to move the preaching paraphernalia because that'll get knocked over. But if you say, God, I'm stepping as a lion. This is a day. This is my day. Would you come straight down to the front? Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come right now. Just come right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Keep coming. I'll just sneak past. Thanks. sneak through. Keep coming. Every lion in the place. Every lion. Every person that says, I am going to rise up. I'm going to stand up. My God, every person that says, this is my day. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit of the living God. Lion. Lion. I know some of you are going to go into powerful prayer and intercession after this day. There's an anointing. My God, the anointing. Who's with him? God, the anointing. God, the anointing on you, sir. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Holy Spirit of God, come up this way. Come up a little. Come up a little. My God. My God. Power from heaven. Come up, sister. Power from heaven. Power from heaven. Power from heaven. Wayne, lift your hands. Power. Hello, sister. Holy Spirit, power from the throne of God. Jesus, Jesus, just got about a minute. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, living God, Jesus. Come up, guys, come up. Power, power from, take it all, take it all. Look at me, sister, look at me, look at me, look up here. Fire right through you, right through you. Holy Spirit, Jesus, 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 the anointing. God, the anointing. God, your power. God, your power. God, the anointing. God, the anointing. Power from heaven right through you. Right through you. Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus, the anointing. Take it all. Brother over here. Brother there. Look up here. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Fire on you. Right now. Right now. Right through you. I'm just going to pray a mass prayer now. If we allow God right now, there's a life-changing touch here. Someone come in behind. Jesus. Jesus. Everyone reach out. Sister, look up here. Power from heaven. Sister, look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up. Power from heaven right through you. Jesus, your anointing. Your anointing. Someone quickly stand behind that brother at the back. At the back. At the back. At the back. Yeah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Look up here. Power on you right now, sir. Jesus, right through you. Right through you. Take it all. Take everything he's got. Take the lot. Take everything he's got. My God, take it. Take it. Open up and take it. Take it now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, take it. Take everything he's got. Take it. Take that anointing, sir. fresh oil, fresh oil. Oil of the Holy Ghost. Oil of the Holy Ghost. Oil of the Spirit right now. Take it. Take it. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Take it, open up to it, open up and receive it. Fire from heaven, take it, open up to His anointing, open up to His anointing. Jesus, 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 prophetic anointing, sir, the power of your Spirit, power from heaven, from heaven, from heaven, from heaven, from heaven. From heaven, from heaven, from heaven, from heaven. Hello, sir. Power on you right now. My God. Power on you, sir. Take it. Take it. Take it. Open up to it. Open up to it. Open up to everything He's got. Open up to it. Jesus. Jesus. Anointing of the Spirit. Everybody take the person next to you by the hand. By the hand. God. Guys, stay with me. There's power here. Oh, right now. There's power here right now. God, that's on you. Jesus. 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 Mighty to save. Mighty power. Mighty power. Mighty. Take it. Take it. Take it in Jesus' name. When the power of God comes on you, receive it. Jesus, sir, fire on you. Fire, Basil. Holy Spirit, fire from heaven. Jesus, the anointing. Jesus, the anointing. Power. We're nearly done. God, the anointing. God, the anointing. Take it all. Take it all. You know, I'm finding more and more that the openness that we've had in the Spirit in Pentecostal churches, so many people have almost forgotten how to really receive. Honestly. It's almost like the real openness of the 90s. It's almost like this. I'm just finding that it's just different. We've got to get that openness and passion. That's the hunger. Just to be touched. Jesus. 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 We have a generation of youth in Australia that don't even know anything about receiving the power of God anymore. A whole generation that have no idea in Australia. In Australia, the hardest people to pray for are the young people. Jesus. The toughest. Holy Spirit of God. Reach out. Reach out. Yeah. Just reach out to God. Be changed today. Be changed by the fire. Fire. Fire from heaven. Jesus, touch this dear lady. Touch her now. Where's my God? Jesus. Yeah. Never the same. Yeah. Sir, the power of God right through you. Jesus. Power from heaven. It's very difficult to get in there. Jesus. Fire from heaven. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Holy Spirit. I don't even just pray a mass prayer. Get everyone to hold hands. Basil, take some more. Take some more, Basil. Take some more, Baz. Take some more, Baz. Drink it in, Baz. Is that Peter? That's Baz. Oh, Peter. Touch Peter, not Baz. You already touched Baz. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Pete. Fire on you, sister. Enroy, come here. No, not now, you're not. Fire, fire on Enroy. Bring him back here. Fire on you, Enroy. Alan, hands up. Fire! Fire! Baz, blessing, fire on you. Lloyd, fire from heaven. Shazalenko, Italian lady, Jesus. Oh God, lioness in prayer. Good catching, Nelly. I'm done. Come here, brother, South Africa. Pray. Hands up. Fire! Hello. Oh, Jesus. Well, I don't know who we prayed for, who we haven't. God, touch them. Come here, Jesse. Where's he? Young lion! Young lion! Jesus. Fire on you two lions. Lioness. Someone stand behind Pam quickly! Quickly! Sister, bouncing around like a... Whoa! That's Mrs. Enroy. Hallelujah. Don, I'm going to pray a mass prayer. Mass prayer. Are you ready? I shared really with you my observation traveling the world. The more I travel, the more the passion to rise up in greater strength. Get hungrier. There's people here that are ravenous. You're like a lion after raw meat. Others are tight as a drum. Some need to just get loosened up in the Holy Ghost, get soaking in the Spirit again. You'd really get that hunger right back. Because Jesus is moving here significantly. Father, we're crossing the line. We're crossing the line. We're going over the line. Come here, my brother. Come here. Brother here. We're going over the line. We're going over the line. Like lions going over the line. Lions. Lions. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've unloaded what I felt. That's challenge of my heart. I think it's a big picture, but hopefully it stirs yours. God bless you, everybody.
Thank you, Pastor.